Well, welcome to What Would Jesus Do podcast. This is episode 2. Grateful to be here. Eden, how do you feel?
Feeling lovely. On this rainy day.
On this rainy day, it's raining here. As you all know, What Would Jesus Do podcast is a platform where we share hot takes on navigating this Christian life. Welcome to join us. All right, today we're just going to be talking about manifesting the presence of God. And we've got interesting questions right here. I hope you tune in. If you're just joining for the first time, we're newbies, rookie hosts.
So we don't know what we're doing.
We don't know what we're doing, but the Holy Ghost knows.
But
okay, then I have some interesting questions. I know that it's been bothering a couple of other believers as well, so I'm just gonna get right into it. As a believer, how do you know there's a sovereign God out there and we're not just playing religion? Because most of us just came into this Christian life just like that. You know, we're born and yeah, you're Christian. And if you're a millennial, even a Gen Z, or from an African home, they're not born you well for you not to follow your parents' religion. Unless you want to be homeless. So you have to be, if you're born into a Muslim family, you have to be Muslim. If you're born into a Christian family, you have to be a Christian. If you're born into a traditionalist family, hey, that's what you gotta do. So like, talk to me. Do you have any life experiences or
like, how do you know that there's a sovereign God?
Yes.
I feel like you have to have that one personal encounter, like that life-changing encounter, because like I told you in the last episode, after my mom passed away, that's when I feel like I got a slap in the face, like, you need God, you know? So that's what made me shift and really like try to build my own relationship with God, not just go through the motions because my mom was a Christian and I had grown up in the church all my life, but I was really just going through the motions. But once I had that experience, that made me, it sort of put my life in perspective. Like, this life is nothing. And there is a being that is bigger than you. So why not rely on that being? And, you know, you tomorrow's not promised.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow's not promised. And there are forces out there that don't want you to live, don't want you to prosper, don't want you to do well. But there is a God out there. I've heard of him.
Yeah.
I had heard of him all my life. I didn't know him personally. But that one experience made me want to know him personally.
That's an interesting story. I think personally, how I know that God exists is practically just knowing that your life is different from the way it used to be. And I'm going to give an example because I think I like to call myself like a Bible nerd, even though...
A Bible nerd?
Yeah, a Bible nerd. So if you take a look at the story of Abraham, and I don't know why I keep using the story of Abraham, maybe because it's the father of our faith, right? Abraham was an unbeliever, yet he heard the voice of God telling him to leave his family, right? This is Abraham who does not know God, who has never heard of God before. All of a sudden, you're just hearing like a strange voice telling you, hey, pack up your thing, leave your family, leave everything that you know. And he believed and he just left. How? Who does that? Who does that? You know, and it's pretty interesting to me because if you were someone who used to believe in something, you knew something, you always known something all your life, you've always been bound to strange gods, you've always been worshipping strange gods, you've always been adhering to, you know, these strange practices, all of a sudden you hear something strange. That thing is also strange, but you believed. What made you believe? I feel like Abraham thought that this was different. This was divine. This was something that I've never experienced before, but it just feels right. So I'm going to follow this voice that I've never heard before, but it feels right. So I'm going to go with this one and I'm going to leave everything that I know. I'm going to take my wife. I'm going to take my nephew and I'm gone.
Maybe bye. He was peace. Already having like doubts.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But I choose to believe that he heard a strange voice that he has never heard before. Like, it was so deep into his practice. The Bible doesn't say all of this, but like, obviously he was an unbeliever. So he must have been very deep into his practice. And he just heard a strange voice telling him, pack up your things and leave everything that you know. It took something for him to trust that strange voice and leave. And I believe that he felt something right. Something was right about that voice. He didn't get that same emotion from what what he has always known. That was why he followed that voice. And that's what it is to me personally. That's my encounter with God. Like, that is how I know that God is real. That is how I know that there's a God. When people say, oh, how do you know there's God? Or how do you know, like, there's really a God? I'm like, I've experienced it. I've heard God call my name. I've felt those experiences. It's hard to explain, but it takes an experience. Encounter. Yeah. It takes a personal encounter for you to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't get it, you don't get it until you encounter it. Like, you will never be able to understand that encounter until you hear somebody talking about it. And just like, oh, she's so happy. She's talking about this thing like she knows about this thing. Maybe what she's talking about is real. And it's real because I know it's real. That's my encounter. That's how I know that God exists. Things I used to be used to, which is like following my own ways, following the wrong friends, it was different because I heard a voice that was different. So I decided to come over to the light. I came to the light and it felt better. It felt better than what I was accustomed to. So that's how I know that God is real.
So yeah, I definitely think it goes back to that, having that personal encounter. Like, until you have that personal encounter, it's just like you're hearing about other people's experiences, you know. And sometimes hearing about other people's experience can resonate with you, but there's some people who it's not gonna hit home until you have your own experience.
Exactly. They would only appreciate your story. I'm like, okay, that's all good, magical, but it's beyond magical. It's divine. And until you experience it, you'll never understand. That's one other question. It says, has there ever been a time when you had to prove to someone that God was real?
Well, you know what? I had to stop myself from getting into debates with people because some of them, they just want to debate and they already have their mind made up. So they just want to argue. But for me, it's like, just look at the human body, how complex and organized the human body is. So you want to tell me that because of a big bang or whatever, that human beings came to be so complex, so organized, every system works together. And you want to tell me there's no higher being? You know what I mean? There's no master creator?
I mean,
like, what are you talking about? And then look at the nature, like, everything is a system that works together. We're not an accident. We were divinely created. We were made on purpose. So for me, just looking at creation tells you there's a creator. But I've gotten into a debate on Facebook. I deleted my Facebook actually like 2 years ago. But anyway, before that, I used to get into debates with people about God being real and all this other stuff. And some of them were traditionalists, you know? They're like, oh, Christianity is a white man's religion and African people should follow these African traditional religions and all that other stuff. And what I've experienced and what I let them know is that I come from a place where my grandfather is the one who stopped the traditionalist stuff and became a Christian. But before that, they were basically idol worshipers.
Okay.
You know? So when African people know, anyway, when you come from that kind of foundation, there's certain things that come with that.
Yeah.
And the only way that I've been able to live above limitation in life has been with Jesus, period. I've encountered certain forces that come with traditional worship. And the only way that I've been able to overcome, the only power that has power over all other powers has been Jesus. The only name that has been above every other name has been Jesus. The only one that has been able to bring me out of darkness has been Jesus. So encountering all these other forces and all these other powers and then having Jesus on my side, let me know that Jesus is the one. That's God amazing. Almighty is the one that has all the power. He's the real period. God, period. You know, that was the argument that I was having because they were promoting like witchcraft, basically. They were promoting like, you know, all this tarot card reading and using sage and all these other aspects of witchcraft. And I said, don't play with what you don't know.
Yeah.
Because they're just getting into it. It's not like it's part of their, you know, their ancestry or whatever.
this is an interesting topic. I feel like we should get into it because there's a lot of debate. You said something about how Christianity is not an African thing and it's a white man's religion. And I kid you not, if you're having arguments with this kind of people, they're not informed. Christianity has never been a white man's religion. Anyone who says that is not informed. I sometimes I roll my eyes when somebody says that. I have like a close relative that keeps mocking me and like saying, you guys are so foolish. You people are so foolish. You pay your tithe to somebody, pastor just takes your money. But I digress, right? Keep saying, oh, Christianity was this Jesus that your pastors preach to you, yet he's taking all your offerings and taking everything, that Christianity is a white man's religion. It's not, because if it were, there wouldn't have been like a Simon the Cyrene. It was African back in Jesus's days who knew Jesus and was following Jesus. If there were a mix of cultures and different races at the time of Jesus's period, what are you talking about? How is Christianity a white man's religion? He was preaching to everybody and he had a mix of followers during Jesus's time. And the Bible still says that we should spread the gospel. The fact that it's becoming, the gospel of Jesus is becoming rampant right now is because the gospel is spreading.
Mm-hmm.
Why people feel like Christianity is a white man's religion is because at the time that we were colonized, a lot of people in Africa did not know about Jesus. They were still traditionalists. So it took colonizers who were already informed, who were already, you know, Christians. It took those, what you call them, the missionaries. It took the missionaries to visit Africa to then spread the gospel. Yes, there were missionaries and there were colonizers, but you don't deny the fact that Jesus has always been in existence. Jesus, the gospel of Jesus has always been there before colonizers came.
Thank you. First of all, it's not even the white man's religion because it wasn't their religion to begin with.
Exactly.
You know, Christianity started in Israel.
Exactly.
Okay, these white people, sorry, Lord, they had their own pagan traditional religions before they found Jesus.
Tell me you more.
Know, the only issue is that they took the word and they, you know,
tainted it.
They tainted it. They warped it to do the evil that they did as far as colonization and slavery and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's not their religion. They did not create it. They're not the originators.
Yeah. Nobody can whitewash Jesus. You need to read your history.
Jesus, it describes him in the Bible. His skin was like bronze. His hair was like wool. He was not blue-eyed and blonde-haired with wavy hair, period. Sorry.
Okay, so if we're ever going to argue that colonizers came with Christianity, but what about Ethiopians?
Orthodox Christians have been around centuries.
Ethiopia is in Africa, mind you.
Yes, it is.
So what are you talking about? This is not an argument. It's just, you know, informing people,
right,
and just slamming that argument that, hey, there's nothing to argue about. It's right there in history. If you're informed, there's no point arguing with people. You know who you believe in. Just tell them about it lovingly and ask them to go be informed, because even if you don't want to read the Bible as an unbeliever, if you read your history, you know that Christianity is not a white man's religion. Even as an African, I'll be appalled to hear an African man say, you know, Christianity is a white man's religion. But yeah, that's the conversation. I'm glad that we got that out of the way. On to the next one. Out of curiosity, someone said, I often see comments on social media saying, if God is real, why does he let bad things happen to good people? What's your take on this, Eden?
So I've also, in my days of Facebook debates, I've also had this debate with people as well. And the answer is, people have free will. And unfortunately, people use their free will to harm other people. And they use their free will to lord over other people. And also, I was reading 1 Samuel, can't remember the exact chapter, but basically God was like the king and the ruler of the Israelites.
Okay.
And then at some point the Israelites were like, nah, we want a human being to be our king.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then at that point God was like, okay, you guys want a king? I'll give you one. And this is what the king is going to do to y'all, blah, 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 blah. So I feel like from that point on, with human beings ruling over other human beings,
yeah,
we've opened up ourselves to being
oppressed.
Thank you. And then also with the free will, having our own choices, that opens us up to being harmed by other human beings that use their free will to do the wrong thing. And I also want to say, people have said bad things happen to Christians too.
Yeah.
You know, because I wanted to say, you also have to actively ask God to intervene in your life. Mm-hmm. Because you have free will, you have to choose to want to give your free will to God for him to take control of your life.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to actively ask him, Lord, I want you to take control of my life. I want you to protect me. I want you to take control.
Yeah.
But then again, how do you answer how bad things happen to Christians as well?
Yeah. Let's take you back to the beginning. The creation of Adam and Eve. Or scrap that. Before Eve.
Okay. Before Eve,
there was Adam. God created man and he put him in a garden with the tree of life and the tree of both good and evil. And he gave Adam free will to tend the garden and eat of every fruit in that garden but one. But Adam, as we know, with coconut head, Adam had the free will to either obey his wife or obey the God that gave him the instruction. Mm-hmm. Eve was not there when the instruction was given.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to read it to you, but in fact, let's get into it. Bible nerd. Let's get into it. So if you go to Genesis chapter 3, let's start with chapter 2 then. Okay, so it says, verse 16, chapter 2, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Eve was not there. So Adam was given a clear instruction. Mm-hmm. Do not eat or you will surely die. And then he goes all the way to chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Sly, that one. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. God never said, neither shall you touch it. I guess Eve was just being creative. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Sly again.
Mm.
And then he moves on to verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband. And he did eat.
Long truths, people.
Long truths. Why do you...
They like, really couldn't eat in could all not, other foods. Like,
you could not have said, woman. Like an African man. I'm trying to like imitate an African woman. Did our father not say you should not touch these fruits? Why you go chop up? Like, you're the man. Oh, okay. Because of woke people, the man is always the head of the house, of the home. It's in the Bible. I live by the word. I'm going to obey the word. The word says the man is the head of the home. Adam came first. He was given a clear instruction. Eve, nonchalant as she was, she did eat of the fruit. Maybe, I'm not sure, maybe God would have shown mercy and created another Eve. I don't know. I don't even want to get into that conversation if Adam had not eaten of it. But hey, she did eat of it and she offered her husband. Instead of Adam to
correct
her and say, no, you shouldn't have done this and I will not partake of this. This man, lover boy. This lover boy.
You love this shotgun.
Took the fruit and he ate it. Yeah. So back to the question. God gave Adam free will. God gave us free will right from creation of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know good, you know bad. Follow good, leave bad. Plain and simple. And it's easy to judge Adam and Eve. It's really, really easy.
I'm judging evil. I'm judging us.
It's not easy to judge them, but like, those guys were also human beings just as we are as well.
That's true. Right.
God gives us certain instructions sometimes, and we decide that we want to go see for ourselves. There's this girl that's popular.
Oh my gosh, I love
Instagram.
Her.
Ariel. She's like, I'm gonna go see by myself.
Yeah, Ariel Fitzpatrick.
It's so real.
I love her.
Yeah. Ariel, yeah. Thank you. It's so real. It happens to the best of us. So, yeah. Like, can we stop bashing Eve at Adam and Eve? And
I'm still judging them,
as much as we want to judge them, because Eve was suffering. I'm suffering because of Eve.
Could have been chilling in the garden, doing nothing but relaxing.
Relaxing.
Now we gotta work for our food
and breath in pain. Oh my God.
Thank you.
But I mean, that already answers the question. God is so good. He's so kind. He's so generous. Imagine creating two people, putting them in like this beautiful garden, and it's like,
give me everything.
Just take everything you want.
Just don't do this one thing.
Just don't touch this one. Just this one tree. Don't.
Like, really?
And he took a sly slithering thing to say,
you're not really gonna die.
Did he really say that? And it happens to us. Even as believers, we want to take a job, and God has obviously told us, no, don't take this job, even if it pays handsomely. How about you start small and take this other opportunity? We're like, nah, I'm going to stay for myself. That job pays more. Maybe I'm just going to try for like 3 months. If it's not good, I'm just going to take that and I'm going to do what I want. God is merciful. We do it. Or we can play dumb and say, I don't think that was God. After all, why did this one come first? Why did that job that pays more come first? Why didn't that other conference, I would have just obeyed. You know, it happens to the best of us. Or we can even look at situations during relationships.
About to give an example.
I'm gonna let you go. Go ahead.
Okay. So, like, a friend told me this story of a person who was thinking about who to marry, and there were two options. One was very, very wealthy, and then the other one, he was coming up. Like, he didn't have no money. He was a graduate, though. So she asked her pastor, who should she marry? And the pastor said, marry the one who doesn't have money. Marry the one who's coming up. So years later, the one who had money was apparently a scammer and is now broke.
Oh,
and
OMG.
The one who was, you know, coming up, a graduate but didn't have any money, now like very wealthy, doing well, and they're
she
both doing
lost
very
that
well.
Opportunity. Oh, like she went with she the went other with guy. The,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is, don't always go by appearances or the flesh. Yeah, be sensitive to the leading of the spirit, because God can see way beyond what you can see.
Yeah,
you can only see the now, you know, but God can see from the beginning to the end.
And it might be painful at first, and you might grumble and stomp your feet in the beginning, but in the end, because God sees the end from the beginning, he's doing this to keep you safe. He knows that if you go for that person, like speaking on that relationship example that you gave, if you go for that guy who seems like he has it all, he knows that you're going to be not only humiliated, but you're going to be
struggling at the end of the day,
heartbroken, and then you say, God, why me? It's not God, why me? It's why did you do that? Why did you disobey? Sometimes we go through certain experiences just to learn,
build character,
and God is just teaching you some certain things so that in the end, when you look back, you'll be happy. You'll be glad that he made you take that test. So that's pretty much it. God gives you that free will to obey or disobey, do good or do bad. That's who God is. It doesn't change his character. He will never change his character for anybody. He's a good God. He will always be a good
God.
Is like the author and finisher of perfection. Like, nobody can do it better than God.
And another thing, so we've established that, okay, why do bad things happen to good people? It's because there's free will, and some people use their free will to harm other people. However, let's also talk about how the devil is out here.
Demonic people
are out here. Hello?
Roaming freely. Seeking
you know what
to
I mean?
Kill,
if you don't have covering from God, if you're not covered, if you're not a believer, you're open to attack. Period. The devil is out here. His minions, his agents are out there, you know, so they're wrecking havoc in the world also.
So that's why bad things happen to good people. Bad things happened to David, as much as God loved him. Mm-hmm. And why did it happen to him? He disobeyed God, you know. There's sometimes that he disobeyed God. Why did bad things happen to Saul? He disobeyed God, and that's why God raised the David. Or why did bad things happen to the disciples? Hey, they loved God so much, they were spreading the gospel, and bad things happened to them because they wanted the glory at the end. At the end of the day, if you're a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, every day is not going to be rosy for you. Let me just put it out there. Listen,
there will be trials.
Oh my God.
And tribulations.
This walk of faith is not all rosy. Trust me. Mm-hmm. We are not here to sprinkle Jesus glitter on anything. We're telling you, we're not pastors. We're just believers who know. We've been there, done that. Yes. Been there, done that. It's never going to be rosy all the time. There are going to be good days. There are going to be bad days. Because to enter heaven, what did the Bible say? It says,
it's easier for the camel to pass through a needle's eye.
Like, it's never going to be easy. There are going to be trials. There are going to be tribulations. But are you going to stand till the end? Mm. That is why Peter, John, Paul, Matthew, all of them, they fought till the end because they knew that they were going to get the glory in the end. So it's never going to be pretty. Being a Christian can be pretty sometimes, though. And in your spirit, man, you must be a warrior. Otherwise, the devil is going to bite you. He will fight you. He will finish you.
You know, I wrote a song about that.
You did?
I wrote a song. Coming out soon.
Watch out, guys.
Coming out soon. Anyway, but it's basically about fighting for your rights.
Yeah.
And how the devil does not want you to prosper.
He doesn't want you to do well.
He doesn't want you to get married, have children, to be successful in life. Like, you have to fight for that.
You have to. Heck, he didn't even want Jesus to die for our sins. He tempted Jesus. He didn't even want him to die for our sins. So what are we talking about? If we could tempt Jesus, isn't now you? Please forget that thing. All right. So next question is, I've heard stories of unbelievers who became believers after they asked God to prove that he exist, and he did reveal himself one way or the other. Have you ever had such encounter, or do you have a friend who had such encounter? There are tons of them on the internet, but like, I just wanted to know if like you've had any personal encounter
to prove he exists.
Yeah, where you're like, oh my God, I've been praying, or I've been hearing so much about you, but prove to me that you exist, prove to me that you're God.
For me anyway,
yeah.
My last semester of college, well, for my bachelor's, my last semester, I was broke. Like, I was broke. And I couldn't pay. Like, I had a balance. Mm-hmm. And I just needed to pay so I could graduate. And I didn't have no money. And I didn't have anyone to ask. At a point in my life, I was, like, sort of estranged from my whole family. So I wasn't going to call none of them and ask them for nothing. And I was broke. So there was this organization that I heard about. And they don't help with tuition. That's not something that they do.
Mm.
They help with, like, housing and maybe immigration or stuff like that. But I just said, hey, I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, let these people help me. Let these people help me, because this is like my last option.
Resort.
My last resort. So I went there. I spoke to them. They said they'll see what they could do. And I left. I didn't expect anything from them. But I was still trusting God that he's able, you know.
Yeah.
And then they called me back and they paid it. And to me, that was evidence that God is real.
That is so, because
this is not
sweet.
Something that they do. They do not that do so tuition sweet. Assistance. But I was like, God is real. And that's just one of many instances, personal encounters that I've had with God making something possible in my life that should have been impossible. So
I think my own personal experience, because when I think about it, I knew God was real. But, okay, so what happened was, I was reading, thanks to Joyce Myers for writing that book, How to Hear from God. So I'd been hearing people say, oh, they hear from God, or they hear, God called your name and God spoke to them. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I don't even know how I stumbled on that book. I was taking a class, and then my mentor was a Christian, born again. I was always listening to gospel music, influenced me in so many ways. I was reading this book. I'm like, okay. I saw this interesting one. Like, how to hear from God? I'm like, I want that book. I'm very curious sometimes. So I'm like, at that time, I was actually very curious about learning like all of these spiritual things about God. So I was like, you know what? I want to read that book.
Mm-hmm. What's spiritual?
Okay. Spiritual is being so intense in your spiritual work with God. Okay. So I borrowed that book and I took it home. The moment I started reading that book, the first day, I was already deep into this book, even to like maybe the middle chapter of that book. And then I went to bed. I kid you not. It was so surreal. I went to bed and then I heard like a very soft voice. I wasn't reading the book to hear. I don't even know why. Like, I was reading the book out of curiosity. Like, let me even see what this book is about. I wasn't reading the book because, I don't think I was reading the book because I wanted to hear from God. I was just curious, like, okay, maybe they're going to teach you how you're going to hear from God and blah, 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 blah. But it was like hearing Joyce Meyer's point of view from how she learned to hear the voice of God. So I was just reading on and it was interesting. So I was reading and reading. I was like, it was interesting. That night I went to bed and then early in the morning, I just hear my name like a wind, like someone blew into my ears. It just awakened me from my sleep. It was like, Jennifer. I'm like, no way. No. Like, I would never forget that experience. That was the first time ever that I have heard God call my name or even like say anything to me that I really paid attention. Mm. And the way I didn't even jerk out of my sleep, you know, it was that call where you know that voice is familiar. It was like you're about to wake up from your sleep and maybe someone just, you know, nudges you mm-hmm. a bit and you're like, grudging. You just wake up and you're like, happy that you're awake. Mm. That was it. I can't explain. I can't put it into words. That was the feeling. Like a newborn baby just rousing from sleep and just happy and smiling. And then when I realized what was, I was like, huh? I looked at it and I was like, did I just hear my name? And that was when I realized that truly, 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 nobody can tell me anything else. I mean, I'm a Christian and my parents are Christian. I know that God exists in some way, but like that encounter was it for me. Like, nobody can tell me anything else besides the fact that I was already coming into Christ. But like that moment was just a defining moment that nobody could tell me anything else. I've heard it by myself.
God is real.
God is real.
Period.
He has called my name. I've felt it in my spirit. What else do I
literally called you.
I don't need to prove anything to you. My story is all that matters. I used to be something, but I'm no longer that thing. I used to do things a certain way. I no longer do those things anymore.
Like, Personal encounter.
It's clear. When you get that encounter, don't let anybody try to water it down for you. Your experience is your experience. Just take it and believe it and run with it. Mm-hmm. Like avocado.
Minimize it, you know. Yeah. Are you sure that was God speaking to
yeah.
you?
Yeah,
don't let them minimize.
Don't let them do that. But yeah, that's my experience, and I've had like more mind blowing experiences. But yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
And I just want to point out that in this personal encounter, it might not be God making a way, making something happen that was impossible.
Yes,
or you like literally audibly hearing Him speak to you. Mm-hmm. He could show up for you in so many different ways.
Yeah.
That encounter can be in so many different ways.
True people, just true be friends, open. Just be open. Could be anything. It doesn't have to be. There's no one size fits all mm-hmm. for, you know, knowing that God exists or hearing God's voice. You can get it in so many different ways. God is very creative. Hey, mm-hmm. He created the heavens and the earth. All right. So there is this one that I think we need to get right into. It says a lot of Christians struggle with consistency. Mm. What would you say is the cause and how can we improve our work with God?
Consistency
in your faith.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hot today. I'm cold tomorrow. I'm lukewarm tomorrow. I'm hot again. It's like a rigmarole effect.
So how can we stay consistent? I feel like having believers as friends in your circle, having them iron sharpening iron, definitely. Because when you're sort of fall off of being consistent, you have people who will pick you up again and push you again. And then also in your own way, coming up with a routine, having a specific time that you speak to God, or like, this is my time of fellowship with God, you know, and God honors that.
Yeah.
He knows, okay, my daughter comes to meet me and talk to me and be in my presence, so-and-so time. Okay, he'll wait for you there. You know, so having some kind of routine that you and being disciplined, like, okay, I know that 12 a.m. is when I pray.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I set, like, I have an alarm on my phone. So whatever I'm doing, I'm watching a movie, whatever I'm eating, I don't care what's going on.
I pause it
and I go pray.
That is so,
so having
sweet.
That discipline and whatever makes it easier for you, like to actually do what you said you would do. Like for me, the alarm is a reminder, like, hello.
Yeah.
Go pray.
You know, I love that you have that routine because I do too. I call my own routine date night with Jesus.
Oh.
Because I'm single. So it started during COVID and that relationship or that routine has really changed my perspective in communion with God. During COVID, we're on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
My routine was work, I eat, and then watch TV and it's date night with Jesus. Like from 10 p.m., if I'm watching a very interesting movie, forget it. Once my alarm rings, I always set my alarm like maybe 5 minutes. I'll do 10 minutes prior to 10 p.m. Then I'll do 5 minutes prior just so that it can prepare me if the movie is very interesting. So I have 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, 5 more minutes. And then 5 more minutes and I'm in my room. Nobody must disturb me. That 10 p.m. is 10 p.m. I started with 1 hour. I'll just go. It's just me and God. And then we'll just be talking. I'll just pray and tell God, okay, it's time. I just want to talk about something. What do you want to talk about? Like, I'll just be there conversing like we're on a date, on a proper date. No food, nothing though. That's the only difference. Like, hey, what do you want to talk about? Let's get right into it. Is there something I need to change? Is that like... And it changed my life. I was never the same. Like, I'd been born again for years prior to COVID. But like, you see that COVID, oh my God, it was like Paul in prison writing so many letters. That was like my Paul season. It was just me and God. And then it moved from me having just date nights with Jesus to including him during the day, like just spending time. Because even though I was working from home at the time, I wasn't really doing so much work. So I could just talk to God and just, you know, read the Bible. At that time, there was nothing you could ask me about the Bible that I could not give you. It became like an encyclopedia of NLT. So it was a really great experience. I would say that for you to be consistent, you need to be disciplined. Because I don't want to digress and get into all of that fancy and interesting story and you miss the point. You have to be disciplined. If you want to do 10 p.m., let your 10 p.m. be 10 p.m. God is merciful and God is, you know, very kind. He understands. If you had like maybe a busy day, you're driving and you go home late or something, he knows that you want to spend time with him. So even if you're a little bit late, don't beat yourself up. Just make sure you're consistent. If you say it's 10 p.m., don't keep getting late or keep missing your secluded time with God. If you've set a time with God, just keep it at the standard. Make sure you're right on time, because it's also like a form of relation. You're in a relationship with this person. You want to respect God. You want to keep to time. So you value him and he's going to value you, and you're going to see the difference in your work, in the way you speak, in your character, in so many ways. Like, it opened my eyes. Oh my God, I can't even begin to explain the spiritual gifts that came with that relationship. So you need to be able to be consistent so that you can grow in your faith. That's one thing that God values a lot. Jesus did that after he spent time with his disciple. Bible says he will sleep away to the mountain, or he will sleep away to pray. After feeding the 5,000, he slept away to pray. When he came out from praying, the crowd came after he had already fed them. They came and they were like, oh, can you show us some more miracles? And it was like, no, you're not coming to me because you believe in the miracles or in the works. You're coming to me because I fed you. Why are you really coming to God? Are you coming because of what you want to receive? Or because you really value this relationship? You really want to know this God? You really want to spend time with God? There's no better feeling than spending time with God. I can't even emphasize it enough. It's so pure. It's so sweet. It just leaves you feeling peace that nobody else can give you but God.
Word.
I'm having goose pimples just thinking about those moments. But yeah, just be consistent, be obedient. Yeah, that's it. And keep a set time. That's it. Yeah, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, we're both saying the same thing. Discipline. Have a schedule. Keep to it.
Schedule. I still do it.
Yeah,
I mean, we still do it. But sometimes life happens, but God doesn't judge you based on experiences that he understands. You know, just make sure that you're consistent. have a community with believers as well. Iron sharpening iron, and
Bible study.
Bible study.
Read the word, you know.
Bible says do not despise the gathering of believers. So don't, even though you have friends that are believers, you also need to go to church.
And like you were saying, it's a relationship.
Yeah.
So just like any human relationship, the more time you spend with someone, the closer you become to that person, mm-hmm. right? The better you get to know that person.
Yeah.
So the more time you spend with God in prayer and praise and worship, in reading the Bible, in fellowshipping with fellow believers, the more time you spend with God, the closer you will get to Him, and the better your life will get.
Yeah.
You
know?
Your Christian walk, the better it will be.
Amazing. So this one, it's going to trigger some people. Mm. It says, how come we rarely hear of young believers performing miracle signs and wonders? This one is the tea.
They're not doing it.
You know how you hear of Pastor Iya Adeboye, Yonggi Chow? Like you hear about T.D. Jakes, you hear about all of these great names, and you begin to wonder, okay, so where are the young believers, you know, the ones that you're supposed to hear of, like performing miracle signs and wonders? Where are they? Why are we not hearing of young believers healing the sick, raising the dead, being popular like these big names?
I have no idea. I don't know. But who said they're not doing it? Maybe we just haven't heard of them yet.
Yeah, so there's that. But I would say that they're still coming up. And I feel like it gets to a certain stage in your life where God just reveals you to the world. I mean, like, you're still cooking. God wants you to cook. There's this wisdom that comes with old age. I think there's somewhere in the Bible that says that, like, there's this wisdom that comes with old age, and you probably cannot handle the kind of power that comes with a large fellowship until you get to that age with that kind of wisdom. That's my own perspective, because take a look at Moses. Moses started young. Maybe I don't want to guess, but like before God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, he started from somewhere. His faith had to grow to a certain level before they got to the mountain where God gave him the Ten Commandments. Same thing with David. Before David could be the king and lead tons of soldiers, he started young. Joshua,
you can look at Jesus too.
He's
God, I mean, right? But he didn't really start doing those signs and wonders till he got to a certain age.
And so that's pretty insightful, because that is really brilliant, Eden, because Jesus did not even, the first time we heard of Jesus preaching was when he was 12 in the temple. And then people were like, oh, who's this bright young man just, you know, doing his thing? And then we don't hear about Jesus doing anything until we hear of John the Baptist talking about him. And then, the wine at the wedding. And then he performs, you know, his first miracle when it wasn't even his time.
Yeah.
You remember? His mom made him do that. It wasn't his time. And he said that. He made sure that he said that to his wife. Why, woman, you know, why, it's not yet my time. Not verbatim, but like, you know, you get what I mean. So I feel like we're not seeing a lot of young people. We're not hearing, although they're there in the background, but we're not hearing about them like these great men of God that we hear of today who are old, because they're still cooking.
I used to say
to my cousin, I would say beans know the quick done. So beans,
that's true.
Beans takes a while to cook. Rice cooks in like 15 minutes, but beans takes a while to cook.
That's true.
They're still cooking. So it's possible that, I mean, that's my own theory, that the reason why we've not seen a lot of young, or we've not heard, not seen, because we've seen, but like we've not heard about them like this great man that we know, is because they're still cooking. It's not yet time for them to be revealed in a massive way like these people. Probably because they might not be able to handle it. They probably don't have that wisdom to handle such responsibility yet.
An exposure. Because exposure comes with attack.
Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes. Because this Christian life is a journey. You're moving from one step. You remember the Bible says that there comes a time where you need to stop drinking milk and start cracking bones. In as much as we've gotten to a stage in our life where we're not drinking milk, I can't say that I'm not a milk drinker. I'm not a babe. Eden is not a babe either. But there comes a stage where you probably would start chewing bones, not even cracking the bones. And we've not yet gotten to that stage. And I guess that's what I mean by like, these people are still cooking. I'm still cooking. Eden is still cooking. Who knows definitely where I'm going to be tomorrow? I don't know. But like, I do know that God has a great future for me. He has a great future for Eden. He has a great future for every believer.
Yes.
But while God is cooking, are you going to even stay in that pot, or you're going to fly out like a crab? You cook crabs alive, right? And some of them hop out of the pot. Are you going to stay in the heat? Because you're supposed to be refined in that heat. When you go through fire, the Bible says gold. When you go through fire, you come out refined, finer than gold. We refine you seven times over, and you come out finer than gold and silver. Are you going to stay during that purification process to be refined? It's a process. You need to stay there. We're not going to stop. The tests, the exercises, the tribulations, it will not end until we die. As sad as it is, it's not even sad.
It's just what it is.
It is what it is. Until we die, it's a journey. It's a journey. So I'm glad that the Holy Spirit was able to reveal this much to us with this question, because it opened our eyes to a lot of things. But yeah, that's our take on that question. I hope that has been helpful to a lot of people, because it has helped me. I don't know about you, Eden.
Definitely.
It has good opened topic. My eyes to a lot of things that I never really thought I would be able to discuss. But yeah, it's been an interesting moment today. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to Rookie Hosts.
Yes,
I'm Jennifer again.
I'm Eden.
And this is What Will Jesus Do podcast, where we share hot takes on navigating this Christian life in this generation. I hope you tune in to the last episode if you did not. And we look forward to seeing you again in our next episode. If you're a believer out there and you're struggling in your faith, feel free to comment. Feel free to reach out to us via IG, DM us, and then we can reach out to you personally. And then if you're out there just learning about our faith and you want to know who this Jesus is, we're excited to share Jesus with you, because
yes,
Eden, please tell them how excited you are about Jesus.
God is real. Jesus loves you, and he has his arms open waiting for you.
Please come over to the light.
Yes.
Come over to the Jesus side. And I kid you not, it's fun. It's a fun roller coaster ride. You love it. You would never regret that you gave your life to Jesus. And if you want to just give your life to Jesus right now, we're going to say this prayer of surrender with you. I hope you just say it with us. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come to you today in total surrender.
I come to you today in total surrender.
I believe that you're the Son of God.
I believe that you're the Son of God.
And that you died on the cross of Calvary for my sins.
And that you died on the cross of Calvary for my sins.
And then you rose again on the third day.
And you rose again on the third day.
That I may return with you.
That I may return with you.
Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice.
Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice.
I repent today.
I repent today.
And I give my life to you.
And I give my life to you.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
And wash me clean with your blood.
And wash me clean with your blood.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. You're now a born again Christian. Yes. And again,
believe it and you shall receive it.
And thank you for joining us. This is What Will Jesus Do podcast. Yes. Have a good one. Bye.